is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct. Hopefully everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. If the weather was great by you, fantastic. And nice to get a little bit of a break as we head right into the summer. We still have hockey to get into. And, of course, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final was last night. And if you're a Blues fan, you should be concerned. Because you can look at it and say, we had a 2-0 lead. We played well early. We hung in the game, essentially losing a one-goal game because of the empty netter, you know, making it 4-2. We hung, break here, break there. Maybe we win the game. I look at it differently. I look at it as the Bruins, obviously with 11 days off, were a little rusty. Didn't play great in the first few minutes of the game. Blues take the 1-0 lead. They score, take advantage of the turnover by Pasternak behind the net, make it 2-0. And then the Bruins kind of shook the rust loose. Maybe it was the really bad turnover, falling behind by two goals, whatever it is. At least I knew the Bruins were the better team going in, and eventually it would show through. But I didn't think it was going to happen as quickly as it did. The moments after the goal was scored to make it 2-0, the next thing you know, it's an onslaught. You know, McAvoy scores the game-tying goal after Connor Clifton had the deflection that tied it just a minute 18 seconds after the Tarasenko goal. So they get the turnover. Tarasenko scores following the shin goal in the first period. You know, it's 2-0, but it lasts a minute and 18 seconds. And from then on, because the Blues kept committing penalties, Boston, who has had pound-for-pound the best postseason power play, they had some lulls. They had a 3-for-19 at one point between the second round and the conference final. But overall, it's been the best power play, and they take advantage of it. They hit a couple of posts on their second power play. Otherwise, they could have scored in the first period. So I look at it as the Blues missed an opportunity, and Boston, even though St. Louis was the better team early, still a couple of breaks, a couple of posts, a couple of missed opportunities. It still could have been a Boston lead after one period of play instead of 1-0. It still could have been a Bruin lead going into the third period instead of tied at 2. So yeah, it's a missed opportunity because obviously there was rust on the Boston Bruins, but there was a lot of breaks that didn't go Boston's way early. And I just keep looking at it and saying, if you're not going to win and take advantage of the early start that St. Louis had, is it going to get any better for St. Louis? Now, granted, games 3 and 4 will be back at home, but they have to steal a game in Boston. Maybe last night could have been that game because things were not going right for Boston, but eventually they found their sea legs and they were the much better team. It was embarrassing at some points. The shots completely in favor of Boston because of the power play opportunities. 10 minutes of penalties St. Louis had. You can't have that. Not against this team. You know, this is not the San Jose Sharks who are shorthanded, banged up, and you could physically impose them. That's not happening with this Boston team. First of all, hits were pretty even in the game. Slight advantage to the Blues, 33-32, but you saw the Krug, which could have been a charging penalty for sure, early in the contest. But this is a team that can handle things physically. They're not going to be intimidated, not going to be pushed around, not after all the rest that they had. And then with the penalties, you know, 5 power play opportunities for Boston. They just went 1-for-5, but you saw St. Louis couldn't get the bodies they needed on the ice because they were shorthanded so often. It really led to the momentum that Boston had really throughout the second period and the third period. It kind of looked like men against boys. And then the rare opportunity St. Louis did have a power play, didn't cash in on it. They were crushed in the faceoff dot. They were crushed on shots on goal, 38-20. There was a lot of things that just did not go St. Louis's way in this one, and I'm not really sure it's going to get any better. Now, I picked Boston in 6, so I'm going to stick by that, but you see the missed opportunity. That was the game that maybe Boston loses because of a trailing, and they still shook off the rust enough to be able to win that game, kind of win it going away just the way you saw the game was played in the second half. So the St. Louis Blues might be in a little bit of trouble here. Never count anybody out. These playoffs have been wacky. They've been crazy. But really, the one consistent team through all of it. You know, we talk all about the upsets and the craziness of the wild card teams and all that. Boston's been fairly consistent, all right? They struggled at times in the Toronto series, but that could be chalked up to the fact those teams know each other so well. Toronto's a very good team because they play in the same division. They play 4 times during the course of the year. They know each other. They've been there. They've done that. But really, since getting out of there, falling behind 2-1 to Columbus, Boston has just been kind of a machine since then. right? They had to go through the knowledge of Toronto and how good Toronto is to Columbus and how on fire they were, but eventually they squelched that out. They completely extinguished any kind of Carolina momentum going into the conference final. So you take a look at the three straight wins in the Columbus series, four straight wins in the sweep against Carolina. So we're talking about a team right now that has won eight straight playoff games, and they just look like they are the better team. Now, there's still three more wins to get. Things can happen and change, but right now there's going to have to be some major changes if the Blues are going to convince me they're going to win this series. Now, Binnington is something that I think you can fall back on if you're a Blues fan. I thought he played outstanding in this game, and that's what you're going to need. Him to stand on his head, steal a game back, get game two, get this even going back to St. Louis, or win both games in St. Louis. You're not going to come back on this team if you fall too far behind. This Boston Bruins team does not look like a team that's going to blow a 2-0 series lead, a 3-1 series lead. Not the way they're clicking. And a couple of interesting things in this game, for sure, was the Krug charge on Thomas. They were kind of going at each other in the front of the net, and that caused a big deal. I'm not going to call that. They didn't look like they called a lot of penalties in the game. Clearly, there was a lot when the penalties that were committed by St. Louis, but overall, I'm sure a Blues fan's going to look at it and say, you're crazy. It was not called properly. But I look at the calls, and I didn't have a problem with a lot of them. But I do like the fact that they try to let them play as often as possible. Corrali trip was a good call. I thought that the Perron trip was a good call. The Robert Thomas hooking, I think you got to call that. And that, of course, led to a couple of ones off the post. The Krejci illegal check to the head I thought was the right call, too. So I don't think there was very much controversy. I thought it was officiated pretty well. I've always been a fan of Kelly Sutherland. Gord Dwyer, I think, did a good job. So I don't really think there's that much controversy coming as far as the way that the games were officiated. We'll see how that goes. Still no word on Vince Dunn, whether he is going to come back for St. Louis. I think that can add a little credibility to them offensively because this Blues team's got to generate more offense. They're getting a lot off the rush, but they've got to be able to sustain moments in that Boston zone, which is tough because this is a Bruins team that's kind of been there, done that, and they understand the physicalness of trying to get the puck out. And you saw that at times when St. Louis just couldn't even get into the zone, and the Blues were unable to exit their own zone. Boston did a great job of keeping the puck in play. I thought Chara played great. McAvoy had the big tying goal to tie it up at two. I thought Carlo played well. This is a really good Boston team that is not going to be had just because of the fact that they were a little rusty early in the game. So might have been a missed opportunity for the Boston Bruins. Overall, we'll see if there could be some sort of a bounce back, but I think it's going to really rely on Binnington kind of standing on his head. Chara blocked a shot in front of the net that caused blood. I mean, you just got to love hockey, right? It's late in the game, two-goal lead, 42-year-old stand in front of a slap shot, gets cut on his forearm, said he was okay after the game. I'm sure he'll get stitched up and be fine. But just a lot of craziness of the game. It was good to get hockey back after having it almost for a week, right? St. Louis finished up their series with the win against San Jose on Tuesday, so you got to wait until Monday. And, of course, it had been almost 2 weeks the last time the Boston Bruins played a game, 11 days off, and it showed in the first period. St. Louis unable to take complete advantage of it with just the 1-0 lead and the 2-0 lead in the second period. But Boston, the better team, they're up one game to none, and we'll see if there could be some bounce back coming up on Wednesday. As I mentioned last week, love the schedule. You don't have any extra off days for these home games. So you're playing every other day until you have to travel, and then you get the extra day off. In every scenario, nobody's got to stay over extra late. You always used to get those Wednesday game one, Saturday game twos, which used to drive me crazy. We got all this extra time off without any travel. We'll get right back to it on Wednesday, and what's going to be a very, very pivotal game. I don't want to count anybody out for sure, but it's going to be tough for St. Louis. Like I said, come back from 2-0 down, 3-1 down. I know a series doesn't change till a team loses a home game, but that's a lot of heavy lifting. Even though St. Louis would go home, lose Wednesday down 2-0, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for St. Louis to be able to win four out of the next possible five games in order to win this series, unless something drastic happened. The other bit of information, Dave Tippett named the Oilers head coach. He's going to be hired by the team. They'll have a press conference tomorrow. He won 553 games in 14 seasons between the Coyotes and the Stars. Excellent coach, NHL lifer. But I really can't get that crazy about really anything happening there in Edmonton until I start to see them come together as a team. They've had good coaches, okay? You go back to, of course, McTavish, who went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2006. Todd McLellan's a good head coach, and they chewed him up and spit him out there. You know, so Dave Tippett's got to be careful because they just have to put the talent together. Now, they've got the general manager they were looking for, but it's one of those situations where you have to see it to believe it. This team has had the first overall pick four times, okay? This team has got a wealth of talent, but unfortunately, it's not in all the right areas. They seem top-heavy with their talent. They're not deep enough. Goal has been a head-scratcher for them, really going back a long, long time. They haven't been able to figure that out, whether it's Talbot or whoever. It just seems like the ball is constantly being dropped in the areas in which you need to be good. Now, they did go to the second round a couple of years ago, riding how good McDavid was. But you've got McDavid, you've got Draisaitl, you've got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, you got Nurse on the blue line. They've got to build a better team. So it's great that Dave Tippett is there. It's great that they have a coach that has a ton of experience, but until they start putting the right pieces in place, it doesn't matter to me. Scotty Bowman could be their head coach. It's not going to matter. They've got to put some talent together. They've wasted picks. They've had bad trades. They just haven't done the right thing there for a long time. So let's just see if they're moving in the right direction. New head coach, new general manager, brand new building. Let's see it work for the Edmonton Oilers. I think it would be fun to have that team take the next step. When they went to the second round a couple of years ago, we thought that they could be this generation's Pittsburgh Penguins. Remember when the Penguins had all those good young players with Sidney Crosby, and they went out and were a consistent playoff team and won a couple of Stanley Cups. Let's see if Edmonton can eventually do this before all of a sudden players start wanting out of there and the Connor McDavids and the Draisaitls and the Nugent Hopkins are elsewhere. We've already seen it with Hall getting traded away. We've already seen a couple of pieces get dealt away. Nails Yakupov, also one of the first overall picks, now gone. So how deep will they strip it down? Who stays? Who goes? But eventually we got to see the right decisions be made there before anybody can get overly excited about the Edmonton Oilers moving in the right direction. All right, let's hear from you. At Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct is the way to go. And Donnell starts out, he says, hey, Don, let me ask you this question. Why every year of the Stanley Cup Finals they have to play the first game on NBC, then the next two on NBC Sportsnet? All the games should be played on NBC on national television so everyone can watch it. Don't you agree? I agree, but unfortunately you have to be realistic too. It's the National Hockey League. Is NBC going to be committed to having seven possible games on their network? And really going back to when ESPN and ABC had the contract, it was the same way where there was a potential five games on ABC, but there was always those two games that were on ESPN. And if you remember, ESPN did it this way, and NBC did it when they got the contract. It used to be the first two games on cable, and then the rest of the way it'd be on national television, but they thought, let's build some momentum, let's put the first game on national television, get two and three on cable, and then go the rest of the way. They felt that might do a better job. Here's the situation. It's a combination of two. It's NBC's unwillingness to have all seven potential games on national television. That's number one. Number two, NBC wants to be able to sell their cable programming, meaning, hey, here's NBC Sportsnet. You're engaged in this series. You watched it on NBC. Now watch the next two games on NBC Sportsnet, trying to get maybe those fringe fans that aren't diehard hockey fans, that don't really watch a lot of NBC Sportsnet, to maybe watch over the next couple of days and then maybe be intrigued by their programming. So that's kind of what they're thinking about. Like I said, you just got to be realistic with these things. And unfortunately, at this particular state, NBC just doesn't want to put that many games on national television. All right. James White says, what an environment in Boston yesterday. The city was buzzing all day, and the NHL and local media did a fantastic job promoting Game 1. We made EJ laugh during a commercial break, got to meet Jack Edwards, and most importantly, watched the Bees win. And he sent me a picture of EJ, of course, doing the job that he does on the extended NHL Now and all the pictures that he took from Boston. So great job, James. And Boston does a great job. I know there's a lot of fans of sports outside of Boston that are a little sick of the fact that the Bruins and the Patriots and the Red Sox have done so much winning over the last decade or so, but it's good for the sport to be able to get somebody that's popular, that is also hated, so that you can get people rooting against them as well as for them. It's a big sports market, and listen, the Bruins deserve to be there. They've been good. They've built up this franchise into a winner and a consistent winner, and the Bruins also did something that I think they had to do, and they've really kept up with the Joneses. The Bruins have always been a big physical bruising team, and now they've learned that if you're going to be able to succeed in the 21st century in the National Hockey League, you're going to have to get physical, yes, but you're also going to have to get some speed and play a wide open style. And I've seen over the last few years Boston really change the way they play to adjust to this day and age of the National Hockey League. So that's what the really good teams do. They adjust, and that's what Boston has done. So, James, I'm glad you had a good time there in Boston. I'm sure St. Louis will do a terrific job as well. Chris says, hi, Don. Much like the Hurricanes in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, do you think that the Blues squandered a great opportunity to steal a game in Boston, and do you think this will be a long series? Well, I was thinking the same thing, Chris. I thought an opportunity was missed early to add to their lead or maybe steal the game in overtime if they kept it tied at 2. To me, the Game 1 was eerily similar to, if you remember, the Rangers and the Kings Game 1 back in 2014. Rangers jumped out to a 2-0 lead. They were the much better team. And if you remember going back, there was a little bit of a layoff for the Kings because they played so many less games than the Rangers did. Rangers had to go to a best-of-7 in the first and second round. They went 6 games with Montreal. And it took a while for the Kings to get their sea legs. They scored a goal late in the first period to make it 2-1, tied the game in the second period, stalemate in the third, then eventually Justin Williams scored in overtime to give the Kings the win. Next thing you know, the Kings were up 3-0 and won the series in 5. It's got an eerie similar feel to this, where the Blues missed an opportunity early, blew a 2-0 lead, first time that a team has blown a 2-0 lead in a Game 1 since that 2014 series between the Kings and the Rangers. So, yeah, I'm with you. I thought the Bruins would win in 6. If things don't change, this could end up being a 4 or 5 game series. I don't want to overestimate Boston just on the one game, but yeah, that was a game that I think St. Louis needed to take to hang in this series and missed it. I think Boston's going to get better as the series goes on here, and that's just going to be a bad, bad job. Big job for St. Louis to be able to come back in those situations. HJB says the no call on Chara was a big miss. It essentially ruined the power play for the Blues when they should have been up a 2-man advantage. They don't call a lot of 2-man advantages in these situations unless it's something glaring. And, I don't know if you're a Blues fan, HJB, but I look at it. Yeah, it could have went that way. But I'm not going to sit here and say there was a lot of controversy based on the way the game was called. Let's see. Wayne Jones says, I feel that the Blues will learn a lot from this loss. Will they be able to come back and win on Wednesday? Well, I think they're going to have to, but that's an interesting way of looking at it, Wayne. Could they have learned their lesson, make the necessary adjustments? I mean, Berube's been a great coach all year. So that's an interesting glass half full way of looking at it, that they kind of go to work here and see the mistakes that they made and get better. I'm not sure. That's might be a bit of a stretch. I just think the Bruins are better, and they kind of showed it once they got their sea legs back. Dan Schaefer says, how do they not kick Edmondson out after the hit on Backes the second time when he's already down? Again, they're letting him play. You could say that the Krug could have been a charging penalty the way they were going at it in front of the net. I know that there were 5 power plays, but most of them in this game were of the tripping kind of variety, as I mentioned, that were stuff that you absolutely have to call. But a lot of the physical stuff they let go. And honestly, as a fan that doesn't have a rooting interest in either of the two teams, I just want to see a long, fun series. I would much rather let them play than to sit and complain about why this happened, why that happened. All right, we've got a lot to do. We'll be back again on Thursday when we'll recap game number 2. So we'll kind of let this lie for a bit, come back on Thursday, analyze game 2, which I'm not going to say is a must-win for St. Louis, but it's darn close. If anything happens, for sure, we'll be on top of it. Anything breaks, any changes to the lineups, for sure, we'll let you know. But we'll be back on Thursday to recap game 2, try to get a guest or two between now and then as well to kind of see what the feel is there as we get closer and closer to this series shifting to St. Louis. So game 2 will be on Wednesday in Boston. Will it be an even series? Will it be Boston taking a controlling 2-0 series lead? We'll have to wait and see. So back with you again on Thursday. You want to get in touch with me, the best way to do that is at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. We will talk to you again on Thursday. This was the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.